How to pass. Well, the way this came about was that a while back, it's quite a while actually, our class rented a schoolroom. And every time I'd come in there, the teacher had big signs on there. And on one side, she had four things there, how to pass. On the other side, there was 32 ways to fail. And every time I went by there, I just looked at it and looked at it. There's got to be a lesson here. Well, I think there was, and I hope you get a benefit from this. I did. How to pass. And we're only going to talk about the four items. We are going to take the positive approach and talk about how to pass as a Christian. How to pass in the school of Christ. By doing so, the pathway to failure becomes self-evident. In this school, passing means getting an A+. In this school, we have teachers, helpmates, and study materials, lab assignments, and tests. So the first section on how to pass, well, actually, I'm skipping here a little bit. We have four sections. Show up, pay attention, do your work, and behave. Those are the four sections. So we start with show up. Where do we go to show up to this school of Christ? How do we enroll in this school? When does school start? What does the school teach? What kind of education will we receive? Who is the teacher? What are our hours? Is there a vacation period? Do we get weekends off? Do we get time off when we aren't feeling so well? Galatians 3:27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. This is the enrollment. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 20. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of Christ, and by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. A new and living way. A path. A new path. Our classroom is the holy pictured in the tabernacle. It is a state of mind and heart that leads to a life of obedience and sacrifice. In that order. You can't sacrifice properly if you're not obeying first. This school is described as a pathway laid out for us by God and our Lord. From Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, strong words. I beseech you, brethren, therefore, that by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There is a tuition or entry fee to this school. We see that we leave something behind in order to have our minds renewed and our characters transformed into the image of Christ. John chapter 6, verse 44 and 45. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw me him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that has heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. More of the path. This is a specially selected student body. There is no open enrollment. It is by invitation only. We learn from the book of Revelation that many are selected and enrolled, but only 144,000 actually graduate with full honors. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. For it became him by whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, he made the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Our teacher or leader is called a captain. Why? Because it is a school of warfare that develops soldiers of the cross. We have to be hardened soldiers in the proper way. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 to 3. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 to 27. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all? But one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate, that is, self-control from the diaglot, temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under, that is, severely disciplined, my body, and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Now, just a comment on that is keeping the body severely under. I think all of us have probably made some mistakes. Maybe that's an improper assumption, but for me, it certainly is true. And we pay a price for that because we have to be brought back into the proper road. And we have to get some lessons. And these become extremely valuable to all of us. Here this school is equated to a race in which one may pace himself, but must never leave the race nor stop competing. There is the possibility of being ejected from the race, becoming a castaway. Matthew chapter 13, verses 18 to 23. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed in stony places, the same as he that heareth the word and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but endureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Romans chapter 8, verse 13. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye shall through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. This is our hope. This education process includes some suffering for Christ's sake, a great privilege that brings great rewards, that will make the sufferings look small. Doesn't feel like that now, but we believe that. We trust this. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 to 15. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Revelation 2:10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. That would be our graduation. We're going to consider habits of gathering together, that is fellowship. Romans chapter 10, verses 24 to 25. Now let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Why are Christian habits of fellowship so important? Ephesians 4:6, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 24 to 27. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, and that there should be no schism in the body, and that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, members in particular. Romans chapter 12, verse 5. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members of another. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 4. Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And Ephesians 3, 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Well, how do we develop Christian habits of fellowship? Fellowship with true Christians? Regularity? Just be there. Looking for and taking advantage of opportunities to add to our regular dosage of fellowship. That's how we do it. So, we did show up, and now we're going to do pay attention. Show up, pay attention, do your work, behave. We're on pay attention. My earliest thought I desire shall be, what is it? Very good. Thank you, everyone. Psalm 116:12-14. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. We pay attention from our earliest conscience moments. We ask ourselves, what can we do to serve and please the Lord today? What are our priorities? Priorities are essential. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Not ourselves, of God. Habits of watching. Matthew 26:41. Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Well, why are habits of Christian watching so important? This is what makes us different, loyal, and faithful. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 to 6. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. 2 Timothy 4:5. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Colossians 1:28, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. The watching has a lot to do with identifying the warnings. And there are a lot of warnings in the scriptures, and they take watching to see. Isaiah 52:7, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. And thy children shall lift up the voice, with the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Beautiful, beautiful texts. Our favorites, aren't they? 2 Timothy 4:2. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Now that's a, you know, that's not a very long text, but it's full of serious things. All these things we have to attempt to do. How do we develop Christian habits of watching? Study, wait, now what did I do there? It looks like I repeated here, but that won't hurt. Study, pray, fellowship, stay alert to the Lord's providences. In this regard, let's consider the example of Gideon's 300 found in Judges chapter 7. The story of Gideon. Prior to the period of Judges, the Lord raised up strongly, divinely appointed leaders, namely Moses, Joshua, and Israel was led through them. And when the period of the Judges came along, it would be more like this. The Lord would bless them as long as they kept the law. When they strayed, they would raise up judges or leaders to regain their freedom from their enemies if they chose to listen to these judges. We have many examples such as Gideon, Deborah, Samson, and so on, very applicable to Bible students and the harvest message. This arrangement is summarized in Judges 21:25. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Is this describing anarchy? No. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes according to the law of Moses. Note similarities to the gospel church after Jesus and the apostles were all off the scene. While occasionally there were seven divinely appointed messengers to the church, there were huge gaps of time when there were no visible leaders. The saints were left to judge matters for themselves according to their understanding of Scripture. Test for us to learn to judge. This is particularly applicable to Bible students since Brother Russell's death. God will raise up faithful men to be elders and teachers, and the ecclesia will judge their qualifications and rally around them for leadership. This is the Lord's present arrangement. As in the period of Judges, we have a law too. The law of love and liberty governs us. We have no police force. We interpret God's word and carry out his will as we see fit. We can choose to do this liberty as an occasion to the flesh, or we can rise to great victories in the Lord. Galatians 5:13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Gideon's call resembles the gospel call, the attraction to righteousness. And we'll just cover some of that. In Judges 7, chapter 7. Then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him, and rose up early and pitched aside the well of Herod, that means coward, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of the hill, by the hill of Morah in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are with thee, too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vault themselves against me, saying, mine own hand has saved me. So there was a lesson coming, wasn't there? Now therefore go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned to the people 22,000. And there remained 10,000. We see that the sight of the enemy, the fear of death, Hebrews 2:15, causes them to not walk with the Lord. They thought of honor and glory, but they cannot face the hardship and sacrifice. These are cowards, and they turn back. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are not yet too many. Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee, and of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So we see that the remaining 10,000 love and appreciate the truth, and both drink the same water, but they become two classes. So he brought down the people into the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, every one that lappeth of the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, every one that boweth down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped their hands to their mouth were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you, and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the other people go, every man into his place. So this was a test of loyalty, obedience, alertness. One class drinks more for their own satisfaction. The 300 are watchful and stay always alert, not neglecting the master's service. And so you know the rest of the story, and for time we'll skip down a bit. And we'll go down to verse 20. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and Gideon. And they stood every man in his place around the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled, and the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host, and the host fled. And the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of various names, I'm not going to repeat because I can't pronounce them, and they pursued the Midianites. And Gideon sent messengers throughout all Mount Ephraim, saying, come down against the Midianites, and take before the water until, against a lot of names here. And they took two princes of the Midianites, Oreb and Zeb, and they slew Oreb against the rock Oreb, and Zeb they threw at the winepress of Zeb, and pursued Midian, and brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon on the other side. It's interesting here that that out of the 10,000, the 9,700 stood at the side, but they entered the battle. They entered the battle after it started. So they were not cowardly. They had made mistakes. So Gideon's 13, they showed alertness, watching intently, paying attention, looking for threats, ready to obey against all odds. So we've considered show up and pay attention. Now we're going to do your work. What is this work? What tools, supplies, reference materials do we need? Where do we get them? How do we use them? 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. 2 Corinthians 9:6-12. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. A principle is expressed here. We give all our own, whatever it is. He selected us. He trusts us to give our own. Everything we have. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now, I'm going to stop there for a sec. I have to confess, I am not always a cheerful giver. But we're talking about the school of Christ. We're learning. And these lessons, when we fail or we don't get things exactly right, are critical to us to examine ourselves, and to make it a better thing in the future. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always have all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. So we see here that we receive provisions from God. Everything we need, sufficiency. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your body, for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God, for the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Galatians 6:2. Bear you one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. You know, this doesn't have to be big things. You know, sometimes we give a word of encouragement to an individual and we do not realize how important it is to that individual. And the brethren have done that to me. Letters of encouragement. And they just don't. It's all in their love and trying to follow exactly what we're considering here. And it is a great help. I'm sure you've been helped the same way many times. Galatians chapter 6, verses 4 to 10. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, but whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Very good, another principle we have here. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Chapter 2, verses 12 to 16. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So we see here there must be extreme care. We must walk circumspectly. We continue in verse 13. For it is with God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 to 12. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. And of course, this is something we can do for our brethren. Continue. And to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, bringing fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which have made us meet to partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. 2 Timothy 4:5, But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 10 to 12, For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. He sees our feeble activities. You know, we can only do so much. And he knew that when he called us. He knew we were limited. But we do what we can, and he appreciates it very much. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full measure of hope until the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. James chapter 1, verses 22 to 25. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he is. But whoso looketh unto the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he is being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Notice, but whosoever looketh in the perfect law of liberty and continue therein. is being not forgetful. It isn't works. Works come with it. They come with doing the right thing. But we have to get this first, the perfect law of liberty and living it. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. These are serious words. It's a serious list of words. Profitable for doctrine. We've got to get the doctrine right. For reproof, we have to help. We have to also receive and accept reproof at times. For correction, we have to be willing to offer correction in as best manner as we can. For instruction in righteousness. That's what this convention's about, instruction in righteousness. We hope it all turns out that way. Psalm 119:105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto thy path. Hebrews 5:11-14. Of whom ye have many things to say and hard to utter, seeing ye are dull of hearing. So when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For every one that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now this is a powerful lesson. Those who will reach full age in Christ will by reason of use receive and consume strong meat, and they will not let it go, putting themselves in position to properly discern both good and evil. At the end of the age, in the harvest, this strong meat is called meat in due season, and it is delivered by our returned Lord through that wise and faithful servant, and by no one else. In this school, results are expected. We have the habits of study, Acts 17:11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word in all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Prove all things, 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Habits of study. Why are Christian habits of study so important? 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Once again, here we have a contrast. We have a contrast of good and bad habits. Those who say that all opinions are important, that honor all opinions, that we want to hear all opinions and then make up our own minds, are misguided and wrong. These honor individuals instead of God. And we would like to read something. I was able to get a loan. I forgot this too. But thankfully, the brethren loaned me this. If I can find it. We're going to go to June 8th manna. We thought it was very good along this line. June 8th manna. He which converteth the sinner, did I get this right? Yeah, that's it. From the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. James 5:20. When we see others walking in forbidden paths in the way of transgressors, we are not to follow them there in order to help them out, but to show them the right path by keeping in it and calling to them. When we see some confusing themselves with doctrines and teachings of men, which we know are fundamentally wrong, we are not to wade through those doctrines in order to help them out, but we are to remind them that the study of any doctrine which will not square with the foundation is not only a misuse of consecrated time, but that all trifling with that which we know to be error is wrong and dangerous, as all violations of conscience and principle are dangerous. Ephesians 5:26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Matthew 4:4. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So we don't discount anything, do we, that the Lord gave us in his word. We don't say, well, that's not important. We don't do that. How do we develop Christian habits of study? Regularity as the noble Bereans must be done in the spirit of truth. There is a difference between studying from a conclusion and studying to learn or know the truth. This is a trap the adversary uses. Puts a nice thought in their head. It sounds real good. It even has some parts of the scriptures that kind of supports us. And that's where we start. Well, that's not where we start. Not if we're going to get things right. Galatians 6:9-10. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. 1 Corinthians 9:16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Matthew 5:13-16. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. That's what we want to do. Ephesians 4:11-16. And he gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And we know we have an adversary that lies in wait to deceive. He's ready if we give him an opening. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So we're like a walking machine where all the parts should work. That's what we're after among brethren. We want to work together. And we want to get it right. We want to do God's will. Philippians 2:12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Well, we've covered show up, pay attention, do your work, and now we have behave. And we hope we have enough time for behave. What are the rules of behavior? What are the parameters of Christian liberty? What is the law of the new creation? 1 Samuel 5:22. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight as burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than that of the fat of rams. To obey is better than sacrifice. It has to come first to get it right anyway. We demonstrate our heart loyalty to God and our Lord by our obedience to the principles of God as taught to us in his holy word. This loyalty is tested by our obedience in difficult matters, such as marking those who cause divisions, Romans 16:17-18, and putting off those who commit acts of immorality as described in 1 Corinthians 5. Those lessons are there for a reason, brethren. They're not just They weren't just set there for those that were going through it then. They're for us. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, etc. A beautiful text. But what we want to emphasize is whatsoever things are true comes first. Whatsoever things are honest comes next. Together. You can't get to the other things if you don't have those first. That's what leads to justice and the way we act correctly. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 to 32. But ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Be ye angry and sin not? Well, we have to know about thing we I was thinking of, I can't get the word though right now. This happens more and more with me, unfortunately. So we'll just keep going. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So we want to consider briefly the definition of Christian liberty. This is a suggestion. I think it's correct. Our liberty is our freedom from sin and freedom to serve God and the brethren, but only according to the law of love and its principles, as defined by the Word of God and governed by the Holy Spirit. We'll repeat that. Our liberty is our freedom from sin and freedom to serve God and the brethren, but only according to the law of love and its principles, as defined by the Word of God and governed by the Holy Spirit. Consider 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 17 to 18. Now the Lord is that Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of God, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Our liberty is confined to that which is of the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of love. Love for God and His word of instruction should govern all. Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 to 38. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. John chapter 8, verses 31 to 32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We only have liberty for the purpose of being changed into the image of Christ. This is the whole purpose of Christian liberty. If our inclinations or activities are taking us in any other direction but that which will lead us into being changed into the image of Christ, we are outside the bounds of Christian liberty. We see that it is truth that makes us free. So if we want to be truly free, we must hold the truth in high esteem and value it supremely. If we give up the truth, we will lose our freedom and eventually our anointing, and Satan will be quick to substitute some other form of freedom, a counterfeit freedom. It's a peculiar thing to give up something so valuable, yet we see it time and time again. Our only handbook for pursuing this goal is the Holy Scriptures, as explained to us by that wise and faithful servant, whom our Lord made ruler over his household and all, yes, all of his goods, to give us meat in due season. Without this meat, we cannot make our call and election sure, as we would remain immature babes. Adding to this concept that the truth will make you free, the scriptures add the thought in this end of the age that we will only gain this freedom or liberty by carefully considering our handbook through the teachings of that wise and faithful servant, Pastor Russell. If we turn away from or neglect studying the studies in the scriptures, we will lose the truth and our liberty. You know, we are leaky vessels. We need to do this as a pattern. It's very important. What law is the new creation under? Romans chapter 6, verses 14 to 18. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then shall we sin, because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Here we consider something quite profound. Just as the Ten Commandments were not binding upon Abraham or Isaac because they were not given them, so the new creation is not bound by the written law, with a few exceptions. We have a new law, which we've just been talking about. To understand, we must consider that the position of the new creation toward God and His law is separate and distinct from that of others. The new creation has a standing with God by faith and obtains justification, that is, a made right condition through the merit of Christ's sacrifice. The consecration of the new creature includes the sacrifice of all earthly interests. It's not that God will ask us to give up all those things. It has to be our heart attitude, the willingness, the priorities we set. We continue. Hopes, aims, and ambitions, and is freely prompted by a pure love for God, His principles, His instructions, His plans, His purposes, His divine plan of the ages. He appointed messengers, etc., etc. His appointed messengers. Because of the begetting of the Holy Spirit and the robe of Christ's righteousness, we have a newness of life as new creatures that is motivated solely by love for God. That's our fuel. Our love for God, our Father, and our Lord Jesus. We delight to do His will and to be co-workers according to His instructions and grand design. The new creation does not have a detailed law to tell them what not to do because of the influence of the Holy Spirit and love for God. It's been put in us. We have to listen to it. The new creation does not have a detailed law to tell them what to do. I'm starting in the wrong spot again. The new creation does not have a detailed law to tell them what to do and influence the Holy Spirit and love for God. His word and His grander law of love motivate the new creature to do that which is right and pleasing to the Heavenly Father, to pursue the course of sonship. Just going to check here and see what I got. Okay. Romans chapter 8. Verses 1 to 8. There is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ hath made us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit are after the Spirit things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. we would not be understood to be saying that the new creation is without law or without regulation. The highest statement of the divine law is love, God's love, agape love, principled, long-suffering, age-lasting, eternal love. We love righteousness and hate sin. Additionally, we are given instruction, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 to 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We have everything we need if we listen to it and we engage in it and we become good soldiers of the cross. Romans chapter 6, verses 12 to 13. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, but ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Now only spirit-begotten individuals would understand this. Do we feel like we're alive? I mean, some of us feel like we're kind of going down the tubes, don't we? This is the spiritual matters. And when we think about these things and we meditate, it brings us to tears. It's so beautiful. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 to 18. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I dwell in them, walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. So, our summary is simple. Show up, pay attention, do your work, behave. And we close with Luke chapter 12, verses 29 to 32. And seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things.